Maine, Maine, Maine Outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing, hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your Outdoors Hotline. Meet Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, and good evening, one and all, and welcome to the Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest-running outdoor talk radio program. And we would like to remind you again that this show is a call-in show, and if you'd like to be on our program tonight, we have an interesting show, and we welcome you to join in. What's the number, Catherine?
The number is 1-800-966-1039.
All righty, and I'll introduce our guests in just a moment. First, the crew that make the show possible week after week. The man behind the toggle switches in there, Mr. Norman Plord.
Good evening, Paul. How you doing?
Good, I think.
Yeah, we'll see here. Yeah. Running blind.
All right, okay. But we're on the air, right?
We are on the air.
Okay. And our co-host is a registered Maine guide. She's a member of the Fish and Wildlife Advisory Council, and she knows her way around a fly rod and a shotgun. We welcome our co-host, Catherine Gordon.
It is wonderful to be here.
And I hear you're going to do an impersonation next week,
next
right?
Next week, yeah, annual, I've been practicing.
The annual Christmas show.
Yeah, I've been practicing.
All right, we're looking forward to that. Anyway, we want to remind you again, too, that you are listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3 and 103.9 down in the Queen City. And if you remind you, too, that this program is sponsored in part by the Northwood Sporting Journal. Now available at newsstands, Zach Lafreniere, who was our guest last week,
yes,
did a great job.
He's
on the cover of the Sporting Journal, the December issue. He's got a record sow bear, which weighed, can you remember what that sow weighed?
I can't remember, but boy, that was a nice picture.
I think it was around 380, right in the 380.
380 area, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's on the cover, and you recognize that if you'd like to pick it up at the newsstand, or if you'd like a subscription to the journal, and we welcome you to do so. Call Alicia at the office at 732-4880.
And it would be a wonderful Christmas present to give someone a gift of that subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal. Wouldn't that be a great Christmas
that
present?
That is exactly right. You said that perfectly.
I think it'd be fabulous.
And what a great Christmas gift that would make. And if you're interested in advertising the Sporting Journal, you can give our advertising lady a call. Tracy Grant is her name, and her number is 399-9905. That's 399-9905, and you can check out our website at www.sportingjournal.com. And remind you again that you can listen to us anywhere in the world, actually, streaming online. And we have listeners not only in the state of Maine, but all over the globe.
All over. Well, when you were at your deer camp, a gentleman called in from Virginia, even.
No kidding.
Yeah. He was a nice gentleman called in. And
we haven't heard from the anchovy man down there in
Tony.
Chicopee, Mass. I hope he's okay.
I know.
And let's see. We have Eric Warren's listening, I know, out there in Ohio. And we have folks all over the place. And we appreciate them listening to our show, The Maine Outdoors. Again, our guests tonight are, we have three telephone guests. Guest number one is Dave Lorenz, and Dave is the owner-operator of the Old Town Trading Post, and he's agreed to come on, Catherine, and tell us a little bit about some suggestions.
They have a great
for
store.
Gifts
I'm excited.
For the sportsman.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear from him. I've got a long list of things I'd like from his store.
Yeah. And then we're going to have Warden Cale O'Leary is going to check in from Aroostook County, and he's going to brief us on the topic of what's the ethics and the legality of using somebody else's tree stand if you find it in the Maine woods. He's going to address that issue. And then finally, later on in the program, we're going to be talking to Kyle Dion, a fellow that I just met earlier today by email. He's a nice young man who is a very, very avid sportsman, dying to move from Rhode Island to Maine. He's having trouble finding work. And we thought he's got a lot of skill set. He's a welder.
Oh,
he's a machinist. He ought to be able to find work somewhere.
I would think in Maine.
So we're going to give him a chance to brief chance to tell his story. And let's see, what else? Outdoor Digest time right now. Black powder season, Catherine, is into its second week.
So we have one more week. I don't muzzle load, but...
You don't?
No, I've shot one before, and it's a pretty cool experience just to shoot them, but it's kind of cold. And now, actually, on push, I saw some people ice fishing today.
Ah, wow.
I know, the ice looks a little thin to me.
I get up at 5 o'clock every morning, and I'm out there in the woods at 6:30, and the other morning it was 0 degrees.
Oh,
and I'm bundled up.
Cold.
But I have a new thing. I don't never had it before, but it's an electric vest. Have you heard of those?
I want one of those.
Battery-operated vest, and it keeps you warm.
I bet it does.
Yeah.
Where did you get that?
Well, I got it from a friend. And
that's
anyway,
a nice friend.
it's a wonderful attire to have. And it helps you keep the warm. I've seen some deer, but they're these little skippers, and I'm kind of reluctant to take one of those young deer.
Yeah.
So I'm holding out for something a little bigger, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, the muzzleloader season ends this coming Saturday. So there's good tracking conditions, though. The snow is quiet in the woods. You can walk through the woods.
Oh, I would think so. Been cold, so that snow is not bad.
Yeah, it's cold, so it's not bad at all. If you don't mind cold, but, you know, I got a little thermos of hot tea, and I got some of those little cookies, you know.
Oh.
Keep myself warm. Okay, anyway, the other thing is a record deer harvest in the state of Maine this year. They're expecting the kill to top 53,000.
That is 10,000 more than the old record.
That's
incredible. Crazy. Yeah, yeah.
Just incredible.
Yep.
And so the muzzleloader season is not finished, and they usually take another 1,000 or so. So I think it'll top 53,000.
It's because of all the does, you think?
Well, they're saying it's a combination of the fact that we had an easy winter last winter. And apparently I've seen an awful lot of young deer that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
Maybe the does were well nourished and had some triplets.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It seems like we talked about how we've been seeing deer everywhere right before the season started, like more than usual.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, it's been a good season, and we hope that you tagged out. And if you're like me and you didn't tag out, with a heavy deer population, it makes us look pretty bad, doesn't it, Norm?
Really?
Yeah.
But you have a moose. Your freezer's full of nice
moose
meat.
Yes, I do. I have plenty of moose meat, so I'm going to get through. And I also have a roadkill.
So, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I have a roadkill, so I have plenty of meat. But anyway, it's a man thing. I like to get a deer, you know. Also, I want to remind you that next week is a big week. We have the Christmas show.
I love the Christmas
next
show.
Next week.
Yeah.
And we give away all kinds of goodies. We have a whole list of nice things we're going to give away. And we do, you recall, we do impersonations. Yours truly does a couple of impersonations. Catherine's going to do one. Norm kind of bolded on that one.
I'll have to do me.
He's going to impersonate Norman Plord. Anyway, and we're going to have a bunch of trivia questions. So we're just going to have a fun show. We have no special guests. You are going to be our guests, you folks at home.
Yep.
And we're going to give away some stuff here in the spirit of Christmas.
We
hope you'll join us.
We have some nice Maine Outdoor hats. And Becky from the Sweet Ass Farmers donated a basket of wonderful goodies from her store.
Oh, wonderful.
So, so we have some really good prizes.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is super. We look forward to that. So anyway, if you like Christmas gifts, tune in next week for the annual show. And it's a chance for you to listen to me make a fool of myself as well.
Well,
last
year I did not do an impression, but you made me do it this year, so I have to practice.
I know you can do just one.
I can do one.
Right. Okay. And let's see. Time for the trivia question. And this is good we're going to give you a Maine Outdoors hat. These are really sharp.
Oh, I love them.
Nice looking Maine Outdoors hat. It says Maine Outdoors on the logo. And they got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 stitches in the visor. So you know they're good hats.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to give you one of those hats if you can answer Catherine's question.
Okay. Are we ready for the question?
Sure.
Okay. What is the name used for the mounting rail on a rifle for a telescopic sight?
All right, one more time.
The name used for the mounting rail on a rifle for a telescopic sight. What is the name?
Okay, like they say on country radio, don't nobody go nowhere.
That's right, because we'll be right here because I can't play music.
Oh, you're not going to play the music?
Do we have commercial?
I don't have anything to go by.
We have no commercial.
I got a dead screen.
Oh, you have a dead screen.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have no commercial. We could make
up
a commercial.
Does this mean we all get fired?
Oh, they won't like us in the morning when they come in.
Okay, something wrong with the computer. So you folks at home, though, I know you'll be disappointed at home that there aren't going to be any commercials.
I could do this one early.
Yeah. Well, we'll save that.
We'll save that for the regular time.
So we're going to cut right to the chase here, I guess. With the phone calls are beginning to come in.
I can see Norm looking... Looking at his phone.
Catherine wants you to name the mounting rail on a rifle for a telescopic sight. It's kind of a funny name, but there's a reason for it. And the calls are coming in, are they?
And you've got a call.
Oh, good.
Okay, good evening, caller. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
We don't hear them.
Yeah, go ahead, caller. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, no. He can tell you the answer, Norman, and you can relay it to us, maybe.
I don't know.
Okay. The question is, what is the name used for the mounting rail on a rifle for a telescopic sight?
And
we have a caller?
I hear somebody.
Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hi. Can you hear us? Can you hear her, Norm? No, this is not good.
No, we may have to do a little soft shoe and some singing impersonations of...
Poor Norm has a blank screen and can't talk to our callers.
All of our guests are by telephone.
I know. That's what I'm saying. This is not going to be good.
Hello? The phones are lighting up.
Oh, I heard something in there, Norm.
That worked, Norm.
Why are you pushing all those buttons? We did hear them.
Hello?
Well, we have dead air.
Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors. Hello, caller. No, not there.
Well, I hate to have all this dead air time. So why don't you don't give us the answer, Paul? Why don't you tell us where did this name come from the answer of what this is?
Okay, this name. It came from an armory down in New Jersey.
Oh.
And I got in 1916, a U.S. Army facility in the early 1900s, the engineers had developed this rail system. It's actually the name of the town, I think, in New Jersey.
Because I didn't know the answer to this until you gave it to me.
Are we on the air, are we? I mean, do we have a caller?
Try it, sir.
Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. Go ahead.
Oh, we can hear you. Hi.
Go ahead. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead. Well, we could hear him, Norm, but he can't hear us, I guess.
Huh. Can you talk to him, Norm?
Yeah.
Why don't you talk to him, Norm, and see if he gives you the answer?
Hello? Yeah, go ahead, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
I'll take the answer. Do you know what you're...
This is really bad.
Yeah.
This is, I really apologize to people that are listening. We have no control booth assistance tonight. And we have call-in guests, which could be kind of bad, Paul. You'll have to tell us your stories tonight.
We have Aaron, and he did have the correct answer, Pickney.
Okay. Well,
Aaron
there you
had
go.
The right answer?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Aaron, thanks for calling in. We're sorry we couldn't talk to you. Aaron called in with the right answer, and the answer is a Picatinny rail. That's Picatinny, a Picatinny rail. And I think this developed in New Jersey back in the early 1900s. They standardized the rail system for telescopic sights on rifles, and I believe that may be the name of the town. Picatinny, New Jersey. I think that's the correct town. All right, congratulations. His name was Aaron, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good for you, Aaron.
That's exciting.
And sorry we couldn't talk to you directly.
I know.
This is supposed to be a talk show, right?
It is, but it's going to be a long talk show if
that's
our
right.
guest can't call
and,
in.
He had the correct answer, and we'll make sure he gets a hat, a Maine Outdoors hat.
I wish, if he's listening, I wish we could ask him what color, but we'll send him a tan one.
Yeah, I think he'd probably like a tan one.
I think so. Yep. That's one that Paul has on tonight. Yeah.
I will send you a tan Maine Outdoors hat.
I feel very, very special sitting over here because I had the one and only pink Maine Outdoors hat. Mine.
Oh, there was a pink hat?
Yep, mine is
you
pink.
Got it, yeah.
And I got the only pink one.
And there's also pink in there.
And there is pink in the logo.
Yeah. And those hats are the compliments of some folks down at Great Pond who sent those up. Compliments of them, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
They're a nice gesture. They're beautiful hats.
Nice crew down there.
We appreciate them doing that. Norm is on the phone. I don't know if that means he's going to try to get our guest or not.
Did you get our guest, Norm? Hi, Norm. Can you hear us?
Working on it.
Okay, you're going to try to get Dave Lorenz, right? Okay, if we can get hooked up with Dave, that would be great. Dave Lorenz is the owner-operator of Old Town Trading Post. And they're a great store to do business with if you're a sportsman and outdoors woman.
And when you walk in their door, if you look to the right, they have a whole stack of Northwoods Sporting Journals right
there. Yes, they do.
I love that about them.
We appreciate that. Yeah. Plus, they're a loyal advertiser. We also appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And they have a wonderful collection of firearms up there. If you're looking for a firearm for the sportsman in your life or sportswoman, they have them there at the Old Town Trading Post. And if we can hook up with Dave, he's going to tell us, give us some other ideas for gifts.
Oh, wonderful. And they also have a big bait room where you go in, also to the right, you go in through that door. I have a beautiful room, all kinds of bait.
Yeah, that's where I buy my bait.
Yeah, it's great.
Are you there, Dave?
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
Can you hear me? I can hear him, but he can't hear me, apparently. Norm, are you there, Dave? Okay, we're still having technical problems.
Well, while we're waiting for him to hook it up, no. Are you going to try again?
Try again.
Okay.
Okay, are you there, Dave?
I am here.
Okay, we finally can hear you. That's great. We had some technical issues. Nice to have you on the show tonight, Dave. I've introduced you at the outset of the program. We thought it might be nice for you to come on the air and maybe give our listeners some ideas on what would make good gifts for sportsmen. And I'm sure you have lots of thoughts on that, huh? Are you there, Dave? Are you there, Dave? Well, it's not going well at all.
I feel terrible because people are listening at home, and this would have been really good information.
Yeah.
I know, dear. I can't.
Are you there, Dave? Are you there, Dave? Yeah, I think we've lost him.
Well, when was the last time you were at the Old Town Trading Post, Paul?
Oh, I go there all the time.
I don't know if you can hear me, Paul, or not, but I cannot hear anything.
Yeah.
We can hear you perfectly. I don't know if you can hear us through the radio, maybe, or do something like that. But we can hear.
Just tell him to go ahead. Tell him to go ahead on the phone, because we can hear him. He can't hear us.
Give us a spiel. We'll just listen.
Just tell him to go ahead and give us some ideas on gifts for sportsmen.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Dave Lorenz from Old Town Trading Post. And Paul had asked for a few thoughts on the holiday season and Christmas ideas and gift ideas. And I jotted down a few things. And it's a little different doing a radio show where you can only hear one side, but I'll give it a shot. So one of the items was a Garmin HuntView Plus chip, and that chip goes into GPS, Garmin GPS, and it shows satellite imagery, landowner names and boundaries, and also management districts for IF&W. So pretty handy to navigate the woods with that. If you currently use a GPS, that chip just takes it to a different level. Another item that I thought of that a lot of people haven't seen, but we demoed them, Claycopter by Caldwell. And the Claycopter is a eco-friendly plant-based target that flies up to 100 yards. It will discharge one or two targets at once. They spin at 15,000 RPMs and they go up to 100 yards. So this product is, when they say eco-friendly, it's plant-based, and it's no harm to the environment if you don't pick them up, or the pieces a little bit different than the targets that we're all familiar with. But a really fun battery-powered launcher that is very light, easy to transport, and fun to use. Another item I was thinking about is a buck knife. Great thing to get as a first time for son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter. They last a lifetime, and of course we all know what the quality of buck knives are. Hunting and fishing books by Maine authors. We've got a long list of those books available, and they're nice to read on a cold winter day. Another item that people don't think about very often, but for a shooter, a chronograph. The pricing is generally in the $150 to $300 range, and a real good one is going to be $500 from Garmin. But it measures bullet speed. For reloaders, it's indispensable and a really fun product to have, that you can check your powder burn rates with your speed and really dial it down so that you can get a very accurate load. Laser rangefinders, everybody uses them. Binoculars, great item. Trail cameras, which have just exploded in the market. Everybody's got five. They're just always something that you're going to use. And obviously gift cards. When you're just stumped and you can't figure it out, there's always a gift card. Squeon, hopefully everybody can hear me.
We can hear you.
That are my thoughts. If you have any questions, I guess I'll get them from Norm.
Okay. Well, that was great. He gave us a really nice rundown. And I would love some trail cameras if anyone's, going to buy me a prism.
I'm assuming that we're on the air, Norm, right? And we thank Dave, and we apologize for the funny hookup, but Dave,
you did
a fantastic job. So realize now you don't need Catherine and Paul. We just have the guests come on and do their thing. That was wonderful, and we appreciate it. I know you're under a lot of pressure, Dave, but you handled it very well. And some great ideas for gifts for sportsmen, and we hope folks will check into the Old Town Trading Post. They have two outlets now, one in Old Town and one in Lincoln. So when you're thinking Christmas gifts for sportsmen, be sure to think the Old Town Trading Post. They also have a complete line of not only fishing equipment, but they have a wonderful inventory of rifles, both new and used, and they're just great folks to do business with. So give them a thought if you're getting ready to shop for Christmas for your sportsmen, the Old Town Trading Post. And we thank Dave Lorenz again for being on the show under very adverse conditions.
Yeah, he did a great job.
And I guess we still haven't solved our engineering problem, right, Norm?
But and the bait, too. I go there and get my bait for my ice fishing.
Yeah, I buy bait there, too, as well.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. You walk in there, and it's they have a great...
That's a good point. They have a great collection of bait when you're ice fishing.
And I didn't know if you wanted me to talk a little bit about this. The IF&W has also Christmas gift ideas. Yes,
okay.
Which I thought was pretty interesting as well.
Well, go ahead, talk about it.
We have, because I always get their little blips and all the different little things, but it says, they say outdoor experiences make the very best gifts, which I agree. They say buy the person a 2026 hunting, fishing, or trapping license. That's a nice gift to give someone. A Maine Wildlife Park Pass. They have those. And I loved, have you been to the Park and Gray, the IF&W Animal Park?
Oh, yeah. When I worked for IF&W, I was there too often.
Yeah, I love it. Because I'm not a girl that likes a zoo, because I don't like to see animals.
Yeah.
But these are all animals that would have been euthanized or had, they can't be rehabilitated. So I love to go there and see them.
Yeah.
So I love to support them.
They have a moose there, too, right?
They do, and he's beautiful. They also have a lot of logo gear and apparel. Like I have the orange hat that I hunt in with the little logo.
Right.
They have those types of things. And then it also says to give someone the gift of a registered Maine guide, you know, which is a nice thing. They have a whole list of Maine guides that are available to, like...
Oh, a list. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so you can go online and get a, you know, a, like say you knew someone wanted to learn how to ice fish but didn't. Yeah. Like you could go online and hire a guide and give them a gift certificate for an ice fishing trip or something.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of...
Great ideas.
Yeah, they have a lot of good ideas on there.
All right. Again, if you joined us late and... we're having some really serious technical difficulties, unlike any we've had in many, many years. We apologize for that, and not much we can do about it. There's a computer issue, apparently, and we're trying to resolve it as we go here. So we're kind of playing it by ear, right, Catherine?
We are doing the best we can.
And Catherine and I will sing a little duet and do a little soft shoe, and then we'll keep things moving.
And this is the half hour, so you could do a soft shoe.
Yeah. So you're unable to figure out why the we can't have crosstalk, right?
No, it's really weird because...
Yeah. Not a telephone issue, huh? Too bad we couldn't get Mandy to come in and help you solve that problem. Think she could figure it out?
Yeah, I don't know, because basically I am doing what I'm supposed to as far as taking the call and then putting it into the studio. And it's when I put it into the studio that all of a sudden... It becomes just a one-way conversation.
Okay. So we'll still be able to, we'll have to try to handle our other guests the same manner, right?
That would be what I would think.
Yeah,
you know,
okay. All right, let me, I can set the stage for this, Catherine.
Okay.
We've asked Warden O'Leary to come on. I've had a number of sportsmen ask me questions I can't answer about the legality or the ethical issue of hunters using somebody else's tree stand. And I know you folks at home probably have thoughts on that, and I wish we could get you on the air. But anyway, the issue is, if you're in the North Woods, for example, let's say you're on public land, and you're way back in the boonies, and you come across an old tree stand. It's still safe, but there's no name on it. So if there's no name on it, my position is I would feel comfortable using that stand if it was abandoned. And I ran that by Warden O'Leary, and he said, yeah, that makes sense. Then I also talked to Hal Blood. You know Hal Blood.
I do, yeah.
He's respected, got a good reputation.
Yeah, he does.
He's been hunting all his life. I asked him the question. I said, would you ever use somebody else's tree stand? And his answer was, I think I have it here. It's a good answer. He said that, what did he say? Well, I had it here somewhere. Where was it? No, I don't have. Basically, what Hal said was he would not ever use somebody else's tree stand. That he thinks that if somebody takes the time to put up a tree stand, that they obviously put it in a good spot, and it would be cheating to use somebody else's spot. I don't completely agree with that, but I think the demarcation line is whether the tree stand is legally labeled. As you know, if you put a tree stand up in the woods, you're required legally to put your name and address and telephone number on it.
Right, and have permission to put it in that spot, because if they put it, isn't it if they put it somewhere where they don't have permission, that landowner could actually take that tree stand?
Yeah, if they put it on public land, they still have to put their name on it.
Right, right, right.
But if they put it on private land, you're right, they have to get written permission to have that tree stand there.
And that's I've only used someone else's tree stand once, and I'll tell you the story. I was the only person that had permission to hunt on this particular piece of land, and it was I'm not going to give you the location, but it wasn't a very big piece, but it had beautiful deer on there, and I was the only one that had permission, and it was
Was there a tree stand there?
There was, and I was the only one that had permission to hunt this land.
Did you have permission to use the tree stand?
I did not, but the man that had the tree stand had posted all of the land. No hunting, no hunting, no hunting, no hunting, all around his tree stand. So I called my friend that told me I could hunt on his land.
Yeah.
And he said, Kathleen, I never posted that land. He goes, I knew you were going to use it this fall, so I just never posted it. I figured you could go in there and use it. He goes, whatever's in there is illegally in there. They never asked me. So go in and use that tree stand. So then I'm like, okay. So I went in and used that stand.
Well, you know, that underscores another issue that you wonder when you see these posting signs if people are illegally posting it just to preserve their own little honey hole.
That's what that person did. They put the tree stand in there, posted no hunting all around it.
So he was illegal.
He posted my friend's land, and my friend was wild. Okay. He's like, why don't you bring that tree stand out with you when you come?
Yeah, Norm is trying to get our attention.
I do have Warden O'Leary.
Oh, good.
Okay.
And I think I've got a solution. It's not that I did anything to the board, but I've got something that works.
Okay, let's.
So he is with you. Go right ahead, Warden.
Are you there, Cale?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Yep. Holy cow!
Fine. You can hear us. Great. We appreciate it. Nice to have you on board, and you agreed to come on. We thought it'd be good to have you kind of clarify the law when it comes to the use of tree stands, and we've been talking about it a little bit before we actually hooked up with you. What does the law say with regard to that? I know there's an ethical issue, Cale, but what about the legality of it?
I'm not hearing anything on my end.
Okay. Could you tell him on the phone that I would like him to try to explain to our listeners what the legal issues are with the use of somebody else's tree stand? Could you explain that to him, Norm, and have him address that? Tell him that we can't talk to him directly.
You should be able to.
Yeah, but he says he can't
hear anything at all.
Yeah, he says he can't hear us, Norm. So could you just relay that to him? Jesus, it's awful.
Yeah.
poor guy will have to just be the go-between.
Yeah. Okay, we have Warden Cale O'Leary on the line, but he's going to try to explain it. And this is like Norm is holding the phone up to the headset up to the phone and the microphones. Let's see how that works. Go ahead, Cale. Can you hear me?
Oh, can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah, can you hear us, Cale?
I'm not hearing anything back, unfortunately.
Okay, go ahead and ask him if you just go ahead and explain the law on that, would you, Norm? We want him to explain the law on tree stand use.
Okay, the law on tree stand use. What is it? Can somebody else use it?
Okay, we have Warden O'Leary standing by. We appreciate you folks' patience at home. And I think we're going to do it here, right? Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, keep talking.
Okay. There is a law in the books called on the use of another person's
property. What is he doing? We can't hear through that. We can't hear him.
Okay.
Okay, well, apparently it's not going to work. I can't figure that because we were able to hear Dave Lorenz.
I know, we could hear Dave pretty well.
Yeah.
Right.
All Norm has to do is tell him what to talk about, maybe let Kyle talk. I mean, Cale talk. Oh, I think he's going to put him through so he'll talk to us.
Yeah. Go ahead, Cale.
Out here in the big woods where I patrol up in Aroostook County, where a lot of it's paper company ground, that law wouldn't actually apply. So it's kind of a unique law. We don't get that call very often in the fall, actually, about somebody calling in saying that someone else was using my tree stand. So it was one that I had to do a little bit of research on.
I didn't do anything. All of a sudden, he just died, so I don't know.
Huh.
No, he's there. He's there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you...
I can't explain to him that I can't ask him the questions. You just go ahead and talk about it.
...that I had was that using someone else's bear site is a law that's expressly listed in Title 12, which is Maine's fish and game laws that game wardens enforce. So using someone else's bear site would be a violation. But again, as far as if I own 30 acres and somebody came onto my property and was using my tree stand when I walked in, it would be either abuse of another person's property would be the violation, or even trespass. So, like, if the property was posted and someone was on there without permission, plus they were using your tree stand, it would be a trespassing violation as well. So there's a few different things. Every situation is a little bit different, but that would be, that'd be one situation where there'd be multiple violations. So,
okay, I do have a question for you. We had a caller, and he's asking if a hunter can use a bow during muzzleloader season. He can go ahead and just.
I feel like a bystander.
I know this is okay.
So during the muzzleloader season, it's only an extended week for muzzleloading itself, so not archery at that time.
Oh, because we didn't
have to be quite honest, I don't work in like the expanded zones or anything down south. I'm not super familiar with that, so I wouldn't know there if you could continue to in the expanded zone. I'd have to look that up just where I'm not working down that way. But
great, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, he still can't hear me, right?
You can't hear Paul.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, we appreciate that.
I can't hear Paul. Nope.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we're looking to call it for now, because it's a bit difficult to go back and forth. So
yeah.
You can sign off.
I can't figure out why he can hear Norm, but he can't hear.
I know.
Okay. Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Okay, we want to
thanks. Thanks again for having me on, Paul. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Cale. I know you can't hear me, but other folks at home, I guess, can. We appreciate you being on, Cale, and I think you helped clarify that. And as far as the ethics go, one of the points that Hal Blood made, Hal said he would never put himself in somebody else's tree stand. He didn't think it was ethical. He thought it was cheating a little bit. But he did say, he agreed with me, that if you come in the woods and there's like an abandoned tree stand that's obviously abandoned, there's no name or phone number listed on the tree stand, that he would feel fairly comfortable using that. So I guess that's the difference. But generally, using somebody else's tree stand is certainly raises a question of ethics, Catherine, but I also think, according to the warden, it's using somebody else's property.
Yeah, and if I... Like, because sometimes I don't really get up bright and early to get in my spot like I should. Like, and if I showed up and someone was in my stand, I'd be pretty mad. You know, I'd be like, yeah. Hey, I took all the time and effort to get it up there, well, scout the property, why are you in my stand?
A number of times I have found somebody, I found strangers in my tree stand. I mean, I didn't get all torqued up. I just simply said, hi, buddy.
Get out.
It's my turn. It's my stand, my turn.
Yeah.
And hope you enjoyed it. But I wouldn't... you know, get all upset and try to get it, call a game warden. You know, if somebody puts a chair out in the North Woods, let's say they put a plain old cafeteria chair out in the Maine woods and it belongs to somebody else, and you've been walking hard all day and you feel like, and you can't sit down because there's snow all over the place, wouldn't you sit down in that chair? Would you feel guilty sitting in somebody else's cafeteria chair in the middle of the North Woods? I mean... Is that different?
I would agree. I mean,
yeah.
I guess just who I am, I would probably just, you know, assume that, you know, if I show up to my stand and somebody's using it, that if I say, look, I'm sorry, but this is my stand.
Yeah.
And, you know, I appreciate you keeping the seat warm for me, but it's time for me.
Yeah, it's time for you to move, buddy.
Yeah. And then if he gave me a hard time after that, then that'd be a different story. But
there you go.
Because like we were talking about earlier, you know, like you were out there and it was cold and... You just needed something to get out of the wind, and you happened to stumble across this thing.
Yeah,
it wasn't like you were planning on hunting the day there.
No, Okay, we can't take call from folks at home, I guess, right?
It's very difficult, you know. It's a really hit or miss, and
if somebody wanted to call in and just go ahead and talk,
they'd have to talk to me. Then I'd have to relay.
Yeah. Well, why don't we try that?
We can.
All right. If you folks at home want to address this issue, it's a little clumsy. A little unwieldy, but we're trying to make the best of it. If you have a comment on tree stands, you can call in, and Norm will make sure you get on the air. We'd love to hear what you have to say. What's the number, Catherine?
It is 1-800-966-1039.
Okay, so if you have an opinion, one way or the other, about the use of somebody else's tree stand, We appreciate
you. Or maybe if you have a good funny story about you being in a tree stand and somebody else, you know, kicks you out.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm teasing you, Paul.
If you've got a story you want to tell.
I think I'm trying to get you to tell your story.
You think I may have to tell my story here. I guess I probably should. It's going to put me in a bad light.
No.
The way things are going, I guess I'm already in a bad light, right? Do we not have any callers who are...
It actually is time to do this commercial.
Okay, yes, well, let's do this.
That's correct.
We're going to do a short break here, a commercial break. We have a message. Catherine has a message for you. And if you're still with us, how come you're still there? No, we appreciate your being there. And when Catherine finishes, I'm going to bare my soul and tell you about my experience using somebody else's tree stand. Okay, what's the good word, Catherine?
We have General Appliance Services that is now owned and operated by Gary Coleman, who's been doing service work for General Appliance for 35 years. Nothing has changed. Rebuilt appliances available, parts and service for all makes and models, always reliable, giving you complete support after the sale. You owe it to yourself to come see our gas appliances for your camp, gas refrigeration, gas lights, gas freezers, gas ranges, and Norm's personal favorite, the composting toilet.
You bet. Ride the wave. Baby.
Come visit us at our new location, just two doors up. Sit still here, serving first-class customer service at 103 Center Street, Brewer, Maine.
And since we have plenty of time here to filibuster, I want to add that General Appliance and Brewer has been with us right from the start. They've been with us for 30 years. They've been a sponsor, and we appreciate that. And Al Elkin was there for many, many years. Al was quite a guy, and he was always very helpful to me personally and ran a good business, and he sold it to Gary Coleman. Gary was his repair guy, and Gary's taken over the business, and he's still providing the same great service they always have.
Yeah, that's really wonderful.
So if you don't like the service you get at the big box stores, check out General Appliance. They have a complete line of new and used appliances, and they're just great folks to do business with. We recommend them highly, don't we, Catherine?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All righty. Well, we're in the middle of a technical chaos here.
We will make it up, but we are going to make it up to people next week with all our great prizes.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Right. We are going to really make it up for you next week, and we're going to make sure we don't have this technical problem again next week. We try to guarantee that. We're going to make sure that that doesn't happen. We want you to be with us next week for our annual show. We're going to have a heck of a good time.
I know. I love the giveaway
prizes.
I'm
going to do some impersonations of famous, iconic movie actors. And Catherine is also has agreed reluctantly to do one.
One.
And we're also going to have a bunch of trivia questions and a lot of great stuff to give away. We're going to give away a bunch of my books. We're going to give away some watercolor prints. We're going to give away some beautiful Maine Outdoor hats. And Becky down at Sweet Ass Farms down in Great Pond has agreed to give us a gift box of jams and so forth. So we'll be giving that away as well. He's talking to somebody, and I don't know if that's maybe a caller who has a comment on our tree stand issue, tree stand question. Our last guest tonight, if we're able to hook up with him, is a fellow named Kyle Dionne, and I just met him today. I met him on email. He lives down in Rhode Island. He's an avid outdoorsman, very knowledgeable, Catherine, about firearms, just so smart. And he's just been dying to move from Rhode Island to Guilford.
Now, did you ask him why he wanted to move to Maine? Is it for the outdoors, the hunting and fishing and stuff?
Well, he wants to get away from the metro areas, and he loves Maine. He's come here a number of times hunting and fishing.
Nice.
And he just wants to make his life here.
Wonderful.
And I wanted to help him in any way I could, you know, in the Christmas spirit. I said, well, why don't you come on the radio, and maybe you can explain what you're trying to do, and maybe you could
someone out there
find a lead
has
for
a job for him. Absolutely.
He's a skilled machinist. He's got a real good background. He's a welder. And from everything I know, welders are in heavy demand. So he should be able to find some work. Go ahead, Norm.
I had a gentleman on the phone, and he's got an interesting situation.
Yeah.
He's got a question about ground blinds. You know, like he's put together a ground blind.
Right.
And he says he understands that, you know, the situation, I guess, with the law, but he said... A lot of times he shows up as ground blind and somebody's sitting in it, you know. And he was kind of wondering, you know, what's the ethics of that? You know, it's like,
Yeah.
You would think that if somebody sees a ground blind, that they probably should be thinking, well, you know, somebody must have this ground blind.
Well, I'd imagine the same law would apply to a ground blind as it would a tree stand, I would think.
I would think so. Yeah. But he was just kind of throwing it out there because he says, I kind of wonder, you know, he says, I purposely set up this ground blind where I wanted. And the unfortunate thing is he doesn't own the land.
Yeah.
But, and also the land happens to be, I think, a power company's.
Oh.
So it's like, yeah. I don't know.
So does he, how does he react when he sees somebody in his ground blind?
Not very happy.
So he chews him out?
I don't remember him going into any great details about that, but he just thinks that, you know, if there's a ground blind on the ground and it looks like somebody made it, you know, that probably somebody's using it too, you know, and... And these people, you know, and he's got somebody who apparently just feels comfortable.
So what if, you know, let's say that he wasn't using the blind and it was a cold, windy day and the guy was just trying to get out of that cold wind, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Should I tell my story?
That is your decision.
Yeah. I'm going to tell my story.
Yeah, I don't think it's terrible. I think you had...
Here's a story. I'll tell you the story. And full disclosure here. I was up in the North Woods. I was on public land, belonged to the Bureau of Public Lands. It was a cold day. It was a wind blowing. And in the middle of the woods, I come up on the shooter's shack. And I thought, boy, it wasn't locked. And I looked in the door, and there was a chair in there and a pillow. And I, boy, that looks
good. Oh, a pillow. You didn't tell me about the pillow.
And I could just sit in there for a while and get out of this cold wind, you know. So the devil made me do it. And I shouldn't have, but I did. I got up in there to get out of the wind. I was sitting there for about an hour. And then the wind kind of died down. I said, I think I'll get back out and walk some. As I was backing down the ladder out of the shooter's shack, a voice behind me started cursing me.
Oh.
Really profane. I mean, just giving me a royal butt-chewing about what was I doing in his property. And I apologized. I said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it. And he said, well, and he said it much more profanely than this, but basically his point was, well, if you're sorry, why were you in it in the first place? Good point. And I conceded that was a good point, and I told him I was going to get out. And all the time I'm leaving the woods, this guy's following me, and he's cursing me out.
It's a little scary.
And, you know, I usually defend myself, but when I'm with somebody I don't know, and they have a loaded gun, and I have a loaded gun, I bite my tongue, keep my mouth shut, and just go on about my business.
But you apologized. You didn't sit in it all day long and keep him out of it. You just got warm and kept on going. So it seemed like a very innocent
little... Yeah, he wasn't denied access. But he had a point. It was his property, and it was labeled. So he was right. I had no right to be in his...
But it lends to Norm's point, too. Like, if you were coming out, you would just say, you know... Or even if you weren't coming out, if he came there and you were still up in it, just, well, it's mine, and just remove yourself and just have a little common courtesy and kindness towards one another.
Well, I felt the crime, you know, the punishment didn't warrant the crime. I felt he overreacted, basically. I certainly wouldn't react that way, but I learned my lesson. I will be very judicious about not ever using anybody else's tree stand or shooter shack after that. I was out of order. I should have done it, and I was like I said, it was cold, and I wanted to, it looked so inviting, and the devil made me do it.
Especially if you said there's a nice pillow, looked all cozy, like, wow.
And it was so comfortable. And the funny thing was, I was sitting at it. It was so well constructed. I used to be a bit of a carpenter to make stuff, and I thought, this guy did a great job building this. This is beautifully constructed. It had little plexiglass windows, windows that you could drop down on a pulley. And it was just very well designed. I thought, nice. You know, I'm going to write this guy a note and thank him for use of his shooter's shack for an hour and tell him how much I appreciate the design. But I never got a chance to do that because he was really, really nasty to me.
Yeah, that's too bad.
And so anyway, there's more to the story, but I don't want to get anybody else in any trouble, so I won't tell the rest of it. But anyway, I was wrong. I admit it. We have a caller. Go ahead.
Well, some listeners would like to hear about your moose story.
Oh, yeah.
My moose story?
Your moose story.
Tell how you got your moose. That's pretty
okay,
exciting.
Okay, well, we have time, right?
We have 6 minutes.
What about our third caller? Are we going to try to get him or not? No? Won't work, right?
It's so difficult.
Okay.
I'll call him
later and apologize.
Okay.
But we gave him a good, we told him his name and what kind of work he's looking for. Yeah, and they can contact us, right, if they have some jobs for him.
Yeah, the fellow's name is Kyle Dion, and he's looking for work in the Guilford area. I have his name and number. He's a machinist, a welder. I think he's got good credentials and a good skill set. If you're looking for somebody like that, let me know, and I'll get in touch with him. He lives down in Rhode Island. We have about 3 minutes. I'll tell you my moose story real quick. We had the adaptive unit, which is considered to be a low percentage unit because the rut is over. And I had my sons and some buddies, and we went up there, and we did what we were told to do. We got in the woods. We walked the clear cuts, actually got in the woods, and we did this for 4 days and with no luck. Mm-hmm. Actually, on Monday, we did see a cow, that could have been shot, but it was behind a sign that said access by permission only.
Oh, no, of course.
So we did the right thing. See, I don't always do the wrong thing. Sometimes I do the right thing. So we didn't take a shot. We walked away. And then on Thursday, we begin to get the Thursday sweats thinking, boy, this is not easy. I want to get a moose. I want to get moose in the freezer. So we went to a place that was quite a drive where I had scouted early in September that I thought was a real hot spot. As it turned out, it was. And my son, Scotty, who's younger and better vision, faster reflexes than I put him in the front seat. We had somebody drive. I got in the back seat, and I told Scotty, I said, if you get a chance to shoot before I do, take it. And that's what happened. The cow moose jumped right across in front of the truck, and it disappeared into a thicket. And before I could even get out of the truck and get loaded, Scotty was out, had his 270 loaded, had his scope lined up, and he said all he could see was the moose's head about 50 yards in this thicket. And he took the shot. Killed the moose instantly, and so it was a successful hunt, and it worked out good.
And it was beautiful. I saw you sent me the picture, and
it was a big, beautiful cow. Oh, talk about good eating!
Oh, I bet.
Oh, we had moose burgers. They were delicious, even the rump steaks were remarkably tender and very good eating. So we were blessed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if I don't get a deer, who cares, right?
Yeah, well, moose meat's my favorite.
Yeah, it is really tasty. Anyway, we apologize again for the debacle here for the show, and we know we're going to get it straightened out for next week. Next week is the annual Christmas show, all kinds of giveaways. We'll have no guests specifically, but we will have a lot of
and trivia and
a lot of good times.
Yep.
And we hope you will join us then. And looking ahead, we have some other good guests lined up. We're going to take, during the holiday season, we do what they call the rewind. That's a recording of our earlier shows. And we're going to have one of the shows that won us the first place award, Catherine, was the show we did with the survivalist there.
Zach Fowler. Yes,
we're going to rerun that show.
Oh, that was a good show.
I think we're going to run that sometime during the Christmas week.
And we have 10 seconds.
Okay, we're out of time.
Thank goodness.
thank you all for being patient. And we're going to go out and shoot ourselves. And we'll see you all next week right here on
The Maine Outdoors.
And we get music.
Well, miracles never cease.